T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tony, let's go.
You know, brother.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Just the comfort level that we have with our two-minute offense is the strength of our offense right now.
That's crazy. That last part where he says strength of our offense right now is the confidence that we have in our two-minute drill.
In other words, strength for me.
Which is fine.
Exactly, which is perfectly fine.
Tony, what I hear there is a quarterback begging his coach to do what he's good at. It seems as if we have seen for the last couple of years that you have a quarterback that's saying, there's some stuff that I do well. Could we do more of that, please? And it seems like you have a coach that fights him on it. And it's taken until week 12 of this season to see all of the elements of things that Mitch does well be put into the offense.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
We are going to talk a little bit of Bears. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We got a big show for you today. Rick Bucher from Radio.com is going to join me to talk about the Bulls. We'll do that in the next segment. I'm going to talk with Cody Rhodes of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, the guy that has started a movement in wrestling. I'm looking forward to you hearing it. And if you're someone like me who grew up on WCW and grew up on the Attitude Era of wrestling and maybe walked away from it, I think that you'll enjoy what Cody has to say about the wrestling business. I think he's a sharp guy, and I'm looking forward to you hearing that. Along the way, we've got some great Bears content for you and a lot of fun, too. Tony Gill is the executive producer of this fine program for, what, 2 more shows after this? Which is great for Tony, because Tony's about to get rich. Mike Chen is going to be helping him out because Rick Camp has taken the week off, so you'll be hearing those guys' voices throughout the show. We start the show, as we start all things, with a rundown.
Just faxing my dad a rundown.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Tuesday, November 26th. Last night, Lamar Jackson, just special.
Third and goal, and Lamar Jackson tonight is a perfect 6 of 6. On third down, 6 first downs, 6 of 6. Can he turn the corner and get in? Yes! We got a Jackson 5. Lamar with 5 touchdown passes. Willie Snead.
Yeah, highlight courtesy of ESPN. I feel like Tessitore had that written down somewhere. Once he got to like 3 touchdown passes, he's like, I'm going to do that. I'm Joe Tessitore. Jackson, 5.
How do you practice? Like, it sounds, I guess, normal when they do it on television, but when you're practicing that or when you come up with that head, you got to think, like, that's so lame and so cheesy.
Yeah, I mean, look, everyone's playing it around the country today because of that. It's fine. It's whatever. I still liked him better on college football. I actually think he played better on college football, but whatever. It's fine. On to the White Sox. If you didn't hear, the White Sox outright released Yomer Sanchez, who won a gold glove for them last year.
Sanchez hits it in the air, left field, bam at the wall, it is gone! Yomer Sanchez, a home run, and it's 5-2 with a smile.
The problem is that Yomer Sanchez didn't do that enough over the last 2 years. In 2017, slash line 267, 319, 413, 12 home runs in that season. Since. 246, 311, 349, 10 total home runs. It opens the door for Nick Madrigal or for Leury Garcia to play second base. I like Yomer. I really like what he added to the White Sox as far as being a clubhouse guy and someone who is clearly having fun while playing the game. I've always felt he's a perfect 25th man or 26th now in Major League Baseball. But they were going to have to owe him $6.2 million in arbitration dollars. And that's not what you're paying a 25th man or 26th man on your roster. Now, on to the Bulls getting worked by Melo.
Offensive rebound Hood to Melo. Carmelo, right side three, nothing but the bottom of the net. Here's Lillard. They blitz him with a double, and he sails the pass. Baseline right, Carmelo Anthony drains a 14-footer. Right corner, Carmelo Anthony with a pull-up baseline right. Count it in a foul on a 9-footer. Carmelo Anthony with the hoop and the Harmon one. Carmelo with a 19-point, 6-rebound, 2-assist game.
Marketing now again a clear-out. They got Anthony covered by Satoransky. And Carmelo to the rack and a two-handed, right-handed dunk. We saw that coming, Bill, before he even put the ball on the floor.
Yeah, man. Carmelo Anthony was out there like it was back in the day. Turn back the clock for him. He had 25 points. Dame Lillard only played 27 minutes in this game. Portland shot 52% from the floor. 52%. The Bulls were 9 of 39 from 3, including Chris Dunn going 1 for 8.
Throughout the game, I felt like we just left some points out there. We just, for whatever reason, you know, missed an open three. We missed two doubles at the free throw line. We left some points that I think we could have, and I think it hurt our spirit a little bit.
Okay, the Bulls lose. Strangely enough, have you looked at the playoff standings? I think they're a game out of a playoff spot at 6-12.
Yeah. It's weird. So in their minds, they say, "Oh, we're a playoff team. We're going to be fighting for that." And I know the Bulls organization is fighting for that schedule change for that 7th-8th spot tournament.
It feels and looks ridiculous when you've only won 33% of your games. But they're right there. They're right there. Mike, what are the standings right now? Aren't the Bulls over the 8.5? Like they're 8.5 and the bottom team is 7.5, right?
They are, that's correct. The Orlando Magic 7.5 at 6-10 hold the 8 seed. That is absolutely ridiculous. Unbelievable.
Let's go. I'm back, baby. I'm back. I am back on the Bulls trade. Even though they can't win at home, right, Zach LaVine?
We're not showing up at defending home court, and you know, eventually, you know, the fans get mad at you, and you can start feeling it, you know, switch over a little bit. So we gotta defend home court. That's what we're here to do.
Okay, and they're not doing that. They don't play well at all. On to the Bears. We're gonna talk more about the Bulls with Rick Bucher coming up in a few minutes. Now let's talk about the Bears. Matt Nagy says, hey, he gets it. The up-tempo stuff, hell yeah, we need to add that in for Mitch.
You see some tempo that goes on, and I think that's good. That's something that we look into, and we've really done it for a lot of the season. There's been a lot of games. I mean, you can go back to really right, you know, really the second game of the season, third game of the season where we've done that, and so that's stuff that we look into. And there's pros and cons to it. I mean, it's always good when it works, and then when it doesn't work, you got to be careful of that. So we like it, and we think it's good, and we know that you know, Mitch feels comfortable in that, and I think our offense does. So we want to definitely keep that going.
Okay, well, we will see if they do that, because I saw and heard something today that I think actually plays into it. Texter says, are you guys doing the what we think we know today? Yes, we are. We're going to do it today after the Cody Rhodes interview, okay? It's because we got a lot of stuff to do, including talk with Rick Bucher. There's some football stuff that I want to get into, Bears specific, that I think is worth your time. And we don't have enough show today. It's one of those days where I like my two-hour show. I think that we try to get in and get out. We strike fast, strike hard, no mercy, sir, for the 2 hours that we're on the air. Today's one of those days where I'm like, we don't have enough show. Because Tony wants to do the Robin Leonard stuff. I don't even know if we have time to do that today. There could be more Bulls discussion, which we'll get to in the next segment. The Cody Rhodes interview is great, and I want you to hear that. That's going to be at 1 o'clock. So hang with us today, all right? Hang with us today, because we've got a rock'em sock'em 2 hours of sports radio for you. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program is presented by Kia. Go to chicagowolves.com/youthhockey to learn how to get your team on the ice during intermission of a Wolves game. We are winners. We are the Wolves. When we come back, Radio.com's Rick Bucher joins me to talk about the Bulls and what happened to them last night. And are they legitimately a playoff team? And is Jim Boylan any good? You know, all the questions that one would ask about the Bulls when they're 6-12. Back after this on The Score.
A right corner three ball by Hutchinson. The Blazers will just dribble over the midcourt line. That'll do it. As the Bulls now get ready for the first of three on the road starting Wednesday in San Francisco. We'll be on the air 9:15 Central Time right here on the Bulls Network. A very disappointing loss and performance, second half performance turned in by the Bulls tonight. Portland took advantage and comes away with a victory to close out their six-game road swing.
I agree with Chuck on that. Highlight courtesy of The Score. This segment is being brought to you by Burlington Stores. Help spread the warmth. Join Burlington's annual coat drive through January 20th. Donate a coat at Burlington Store to help your neighbors in need. As thanks, receive 10% off your purchase. Find your store at burlington.com. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We're going to have some bear stuff in the show, and I promise you in the next segment we're going to do that. Want to spend some time talking about not just the loss last night, but everything that is surrounding the Bulls right now. On the line, radio.com sports NBA insider Rick Bucher. Insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Rick, I appreciate you joining me. I want to start here. What's the national perception on Jim Boylan as coach?
Energetic coach, very young coach. Has been with a number of quality teams in an assistant position. Question is, does all the gung-ho-ness and the energy translate? But I would think by and large, the feeling is that, you know, he's a guy who puts in the work and is, as with many coaches, getting their first opportunity to be a head coach. He's in a rebuilding situation, and those are always trickier than established rosters or established teams. So I think there's sort of a wait and see, but looking at the resume and looking at the willingness to work, people are cautiously optimistic that he's going to be able to make this work with the Bulls.
But, Rick, here's the thing. Obviously, over the last few years, the Bulls have been rebuilding. But they're the ones who brought up the playoffs this year. Like, they're the ones who kind of said, hey, this is what we're shooting for. This is what we're trying for. And right. and that's the way that that's the lens with which I am looking at them. You right. said to me that you're competing for a playoff team. So mm-hmm. so with all of the style of Jim Boylan and his resume, yeah. shouldn't I be judging them on whether or not I'm seeing improvement? And so far, it's hard to see any improvement.
Yeah, I guess I look at them through a different prism. I mean, based on what they were last year and some of the struggles that they had and what they have, getting a chance to see Wendell Carter, getting to see Kobe White, the addition of Thad Young and seeing more of Otto Porter. And the fact of the matter is, in the East, the last I checked, they're a game out of the last playoff spot. So have they started more slowly than I think when you look at their schedule in particular and maybe what the expectations are? Have they started slower than they would have wanted or that you would have expected for a team that's vying for a playoff spot? Yeah, I think that's fair, especially I think the first four or five games, that was an opportunity to get out of the gate with a winning record. But if I look at it overall, you know, part of it is they just haven't been healthy the last couple of years. So now, for the most part, outside of Otto Porter, they're healthy. Well, now you got to figure out how do these pieces fit together and what are the roles. And Zach LaVine has been up and down, but I take encouragement from the big moments that he's had. I think Lauri Markkanen probably has been, for me, a greater disappointment in that defensively hasn't always been there and offensively has had looks, wide open looks that he hasn't been able to finish, whether it's at the rim or from range. But I guess I don't know what was expected in terms of the Bulls saying, we're going to be a playoff team and we're going to make a jump from last year. I like the fact that they said, hey, we think that we should that we're gunning for a playoff spot, because I can only hear rebuilding so many years before I go, okay, you know, you need to up the ante. You need to take that risk. And 18 games into this season, I'm just not ready to say that either the rebuilding hasn't worked or that they're not a playoff team, or at least are going to be in the hunt for one of those playoff spots. The standings say that they haven't, as disappointing as the start may be, they certainly haven't put themselves in a hole that they can't get out of. And I see some signs where I'm thinking, yeah, I can see why you thought that. It's been up and down, but I defy anybody to say that there's not talent on this roster.
Rick Bucher joining me here on The Score, and you can check him out on radio.com. He's one of the analysts for radio.com, does a great job with his podcast, too. I want to go back to Lauri Markkanen for a second, because you brought it up, and it has been a big issue here in Chicago that next step hasn't happened with him. And obviously, defensively, he's always kind of had some deficiencies. What's scary now is that his game offensively is starting to go to the background. And I keep wondering if this team is big enough for him and LaVine to get the touches that they need to succeed.
Yeah, I think it is, but I think you need to figure out your point guard situation and who the facilitator is. And again, that's another one of the moving parts with this team, that I would think that as the season unfolds, you're going to get a better grasp of, because you have, I didn't even mention, you know, Tomas Satoransky coming in, Kobe White probably getting more minutes at this point and being more of a scorer than anybody anticipated. Obviously, Chris Dunn trying to figure out his role within this team. And so, you know, that mix of point guards generally and how you're going to distribute the ball, especially when they're scoring point guards, and you have somebody who's dynamic like Zach LaVine, who can put the ball on the floor and attack the rim, like he can go get his own. Markkanen's more of a guy who's going to depend on his touches and his shots and his scoring off of the action of other people. And it's human nature. When a guy's not knocking down open shots, he's not as aggressive in looking for the ball, and his teammates probably aren't quite as aggressive looking to get him the ball. And so I think that's part of what is here. I still look at Markkanen and I feel like it's way too early to say that he can't fit or that those pieces can't fit, but he's the guy that's probably going to suffer the most if his game isn't on point. And this is the other tricky part is, you know, when you've been a star in college and you come into this situation, you're one of the priorities. Well, now you look at Satoransky and you look at, you know, Zach taking, I think has improved certainly offensively in terms of his game. You add Kobe White to the mix. When Otto Porter's healthy, he's going to be getting shots. Certainly Thad's going to be getting shots. It's like somebody's going to get squeezed and they're going to have to be more efficient with fewer touches and fewer shots. And that's what Markkanen's facing right now. And it's going to be a question of, can he be efficient? Because I don't know that the composition of this team, and let's face it, the depth and the versatility, which is going to challenge the coaching chops of Jim Boylan to extricate, you know, what the best out of everybody, knowing that you're probably not going to have a set rotation for a while or even a set starting lineup. It's a challenge for everybody. It's not an easy thing to figure this out. And again, that's kind of why, like, and this isn't the Memphis Grizzlies with Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, and you know what your established base is. Now that the Bulls are finally healthy for a stretch, it's figuring out what that is. But I'll go back to the original thing. Like, I just, I, It's why I thought that I was, and I think the national media, by and large, everybody kind of nodded their head. They're like, you know what? The Bulls could be that sneaky good team this year. I still feel that way, and it's based largely on the roster that they have, but it doesn't surprise me that it might be taking a while to figure out exactly how you exploit everything that that roster has to offer.
Speaking of efficiency, and you brought it up, I want to talk specifically about the Bulls and efficiency and shot taking. The Bulls analytics department has kind of gone out and said to guys, look, we want you to shoot more threes, obviously, because three is worth more than two, and you can have a lower percentage of threes. But they're bad at it, Rick. They're not good at shooting threes. So I'd love to know where you come down on this spectrum of, if you don't have a good shooting three team, does that mean that they should take more mid-range or two-point shots because they're not good at shooting?
Yeah, I'm going to get all tangled up with the analytics people now. I don't know that it's necessarily that you change your offense and you sacrifice taking the threes as much as you have to understand that. Look, if we're not a great 3-point shooting team, it's incumbent upon us to be attacking the rim, and it accomplishes two things. One, it gives you a greater chance of going to the free throw line and adding to your overall scoring ability by doing it from the free throw line. Two, by attacking the rim and getting inside, when you do kick out for threes, then the time that a guy has to get a shot off or the view that he has is going to be just a little bit better. And that can be all the difference in the world for a 3-point shooter and his efficiency or their efficiency. And then the other part is, you know what? If we're taking a lot of threes, we've got to be, and we're not necessarily making a lot of them, we have to be that more diligent about getting back on defense and being really stingy defensively. I think you can live with the style that they're playing, but you have to recognize if we're not great at shooting threes, then we really have to be on point with some of the other aspects of our game. And where I see them all too often is that when the threes are falling, when their offense is going, they're energized and they're good on defense. And when it's not falling, and when you got long rebounds and runouts, you just don't have the same energy getting back and locking down, and that's where teams open it up and get some of the runs that we've seen them have. And you can't afford to have both. You can't allow your offensive struggles to affect your defensive energy, and that's what I've seen at times, is that they drop their heads, which, you know, to a certain extent you would expect with a young team. But if you're going to be a playoff team as a young team, you simply can't afford that.
Rick Bucher is our NBA insider from radio.com. Insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Hear Rick and Scowling Pals, a brand new NBA podcast out now on radio.com and the radio.com app. Just search Scowl. Rick, I appreciate the conversation. I'm looking forward to doing this as the season goes on.
Me too. Thank you.
Thank you. That is Rick Bucher of Radio.com with some interesting things to say about the Bulls. When we come back, we'll get back to talking about the Bears. There was something that I heard this morning that I want you to hear, and it's part of a bigger discussion that we've been having about the type of passing game the Bears should have. I'll explain next here on The Score.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, Cody Rhodes of AEW is going to join me. Interesting guy. I think you're going to like the interview. Hey, contractors, the trade deadline is come and gone, but at SupplyHouse.com, you can still boost your stock with Trade Tuesday. On Tuesday, December 3rd, go to SupplyHouse.com for the pro size discounts on all the plumbing, heating, and HVAC products you need. Stock up for the season during our best sale of the year. Take it to the house. Supplyhouse.com. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock today. We had an interesting conversation with Rick Bucher about the Bulls. I want to get back to talking a little bit about the Bears. I always like to listen to, I try to sample every show on the score. And like, hey, if there's a great guest or something that's smart that said, I like to bring it back for you. And it fits into conversations that we end up talking about. That happened today. It happened when I was driving in listening to Bernstein and McKnight. Over the last couple of weeks, we've talked a little bit about where is Mitch at his best? What is salvageable inside the 2019 season? And what things can help him grow as a quarterback? And I've said, look, have him throw on the run, move the pocket a little bit, play action, run games with play action. And then reflexively, people are like, well, Lawrence, you can't do play action if your run game's not good. That's not true. It's about the attempts and what the attempts do to defenses, and then it allows you to make plays down the field. Our buddy Dan Durkin over at the Athletic did the heavy lifting on this, but if you look at what Mitch is like in play action, let's just take last week's game, for example. It admittedly is against a bad defense, admittedly. But play action last week, Mitch was 10 of 17 for 178 yards, 6 first downs, and a quarterback rating of 114.3. Mitch on the move, moving the pocket, waggles, that sort of thing. 4 of 7 for 62 yards. I'd love to see them use a little bit more max protection. 2 tight ends, although they're running out of tight ends because now you got another one. Broniker is in the concussion protocol, along with Taylor Gabriel, and Matt Nagy is not optimistic that either one of those guys plays. But you can use Lucas as your tight end on max protect plays and bring in an extra tackle and make him that guy, send 2 guys out in a route. In this case right now, it's going to be Anthony Miller is going to be the secondary guy in a route and try to make some plays happen. Sage Rosenfels was on with Bernstein and McKnight. I really like his segment that he does. I think it's 9:40 every Tuesday. He jumps on. He was really good at explaining why all of this stuff matters, why even a lack of a run game doesn't mean that you abandon using it to set up play action.
If I were Chicago, I'd run a lot of play action. I'd run a lot of bootleg stuff. You know, it is really hard to drop back in the pocket. I was watching, Good Morning NFL this morning on NFL Network, and they were talking about Jared Goff's big decline this year. His numbers have gone way down, and he's thrown for like 61% or something in his last 4 games and, barely a touchdown pass or whatever. Well, they don't really have a run game right now with the LA Rams, and so they're dropping back to pass a lot, and that's a hard place to be, is in that pocket with a leaky offensive line trying to throw the ball down the field. I was watching this Bears game. Man, I think it was the first play of the game. They go play action to Taylor Gabriel. They went bootleg on the first play. I think on the second drive, they went play action to a comeback for a 15-yard gain to Taylor Gabriel along that right sideline. The play action stuff hugely helps the offensive line, even if you don't necessarily even run the ball all that much. Just the fact that you're probably going to have at least a tight end, if not 2 tight ends, stand and block. Yes, you're having fewer receivers out in the pass pattern, but you're causing the linebackers, the safeties, the D linemen to displace. And when I say that, it means they have to play the run first, which means they're not just dropping back into coverage to guard those receivers, which then opens up more one-on-one stuff with just the receiver and the cornerback, or the receiver and the safety, opens up bigger holes in the secondary. And for a quarterback, it's much easier to take your drop and fake the handoff and pop up. And, all the linebackers now have sucked up, and now you can throw the ball either on some sort of dig route behind them or even on a comeback on the outside, because now you don't have a dropper straight sprinting, running underneath the comeback as if you were which would be the case if you were in just a regular drop back pass. So I'm a big believer in play action. You have a lot of teams that are getting really, really big yards per attempt because of play. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings, the numbers that they're putting up with their play action stuff with Kirk Cousins, who's not a great athletic quarterback, I would say. He's a very accurate quarterback, but, you know, a third of the athlete of Mitch Trubisky. But their bootleg and their play action stuff, they're getting huge plays, you know, down the field. And last week, a week and a half ago, their win, you know, their comeback that they had versus the Broncos, one was a bootleg to the left, and the safety hit came on the crosser route, and they had the post behind them, hit Stephon Diggs. And then the next one, a few drives later, they hit the tight end, Kyle Rudolph. Nobody is around him on a bootleg because they run the football so well, and the defense sucked up on the run. The guy that was in man-to-man played the run, lost Kyle Rudolph, completely wide open for a touchdown. You just don't see that in the Bears' offense very much, you know, when they because they don't do a lot of play-action bootleg. I think they should do more of it because more often than not, when they do play-action or bootleg stuff, positive things happen. Even if it's only a 5-yard gain, but they're getting some bigger chunks when they do that play action.
That's great stuff from Sage Rosenfels, explaining why it's important to keep doing some of this stuff, even though the Bears offensive line and or running backs haven't been very good, that you still need to do it because of what it does to the defense. Hey, Tony, want to get hyped about the Bears?
Do it.
So our buddy Mark Potash threw this out on Twitter yesterday. It is the scenario, here we go, yo, for the Bears,
here we go, yo,
to make the playoffs with a 9-7 record. Not just 10-6, but 9-7. Would you like to know more? All right. The Bears would need to win against Detroit, win against Dallas, win against Green Bay. You expect the loss against Kansas City and win at Minnesota to finish 9-7, okay? They would need Minnesota to lose to Seattle, beat Detroit, then lose to the Chargers, lose to Green Bay, and the Bears beat them head-to-head. They would need the Rams to win this week, lose against Seattle, lose against Dallas, lose against San Francisco, and then win the final game against Arizona to make them 8-8. They need Philadelphia to win all of their games, every single one of them, so that you get them out of the wild card division. Just win the NFC East outright. Then they need Dallas to beat Buffalo, lose to the Bears, beat the Rams, lose to Philadelphia, and then beat Washington to finish 9-7. Bears with a tie break because they beat them head to head. And they need Carolina to do this. Win against Washington, win against Atlanta, lose to Seattle, win, and finish 9-7. That is how the Bears get themselves to the playoffs. Let's go!
Don't stop,
yeah!
Believing.
Woo! Not even 10-6. At 9-7. They need a lot of help.
That's a lot.
And they've done it to themselves. But hey, win tomorrow. Win Thursday. Just win Thursday. That's all you can control. Just go into Detroit and do what you got to do.
Whatever is necessary today.
That's all. Went. Wait, whatever is the, yeah, went, right? Isn't that what the Illini coach did? Went. It's all, well, not today. Well, I guess it works because you could say whatever is necessary Thursday. Went. Bears. Yeah. When we come back, we are going to talk with Cody Rhodes. And I know that you're sitting there going, I don't even like wrestling, Lawrence, or I stopped watching wrestling. I think that you should listen because we're not just going to talk about wrestling. We're going to talk about the business of wrestling. And AEW is in town. They're going to have a show at the Sears Center. I'm going to talk with the guy that started a revolution, AEW. We do that next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.